I want to talk to you from my heart tonight. I actually have a little bit different thing going on tonight. I have two different messages, and I'm going to kind of mix and jump back and forth because I couldn't make up my mind which one. So we'll see how the Lord goes. But really at a juncture at New Life that is going to require a lot of discomfort. And the reason why I say that is because we're creatures of habit. Everybody likes routine. I think probably there's very few people that like change all the time. But what we're going to go through in the next several months here, casting a vision, is going through changes. You know, and I've been praying. I don't want to hurt anybody's feeling. I said, Lord, if people leave because we don't have hamburgers after church, so be it. You know, we can eat. We all have food at home. Come on, someone. We can eat at home. Right. One right. We can eat at home. Can I get an amen? Amen. Looking for the man that shot my paw. But other things. I mean, we just got to change. We got to change the way we do things if we're going to attract, keep, disciple, as my brother said, and see people change, take the harvest and bring it in. It's going to take great change. So I want to talk to you tonight and probably the next couple of weeks, we as core group, because I'm counting on you guys to really spread this. I'm kind of asking that you get impregnated with it and give it to other people. It's like a bad flu, only it's a good spirit, and pass it on to somebody else so we can all get excited about it. And I want to talk tonight about principles of church growth. You know, the Lord desires to grow the church. Any church that says God is not interested in growing the church is missing it. One of the core visions of any church should be we want to grow and affect the church. We want the people from the outside to come and be part of us. And if there's enough churches in a community, all of them should be full. I was telling Pastor Brad, we spent some time together today, and I was talking about the church in Guatemala a few years ago, about 15 years ago, there was a revival in Guatemala in a town. And I don't know if, what's it called? Mick, what's the videos that were done during that time? Transformation videos. How many has ever seen one of the transformation videos? And so they went to this town in Guatemala what had happened was revival came so strong. They had four prisons in the town, and they all closed, all but one. One stayed open just in case, but they all closed. Churches got together. Thousands got saved. And not only did it change the church and the community, it even changed the way they did things. The main source of income was agriculture. And what happened was, they only had one harvest per year, sometimes two, in that climate. They went from one to two harvests to three to four harvests. God blessed them so much, they had cucumbers the size of from my hand to my elbow, that big around. They had tomatoes like that. They had fruit and vegetables that was out of this world. It so affected the world that agriculturalists from all over the world started to come and say, you know, they flew in, drove in, said, hey, what's happening? What's going on? And they said, it's very simple. We pray. We pray and God blesses us. And when they started this whole thing, when they started to get together and pray and change, because it was a terrible, the churches wouldn't get along together. They wouldn't talk to one another. And now they're at this point, they were all one. And they had old, broken down trucks that took them to market. Took all their harvest to market, whatever they had. They were all driving Mercedes-Benz trucks. And they all had glory to Jesus on the front of the truck. And God had blessed their economy. God had blessed their churches. God had blessed their businesses. And that can happen only when people start to see God's passion for the lost. Amen. Absolutely passionate for the lost. I shared about one time I was praying when I first got here, and I was in prayer, and I got a vision of looking at Christ, and I was looking at him and worshiping him, but he wouldn't look at me. His eyes were, you know, going out that way. And I was like, why aren't you looking at me? And the Lord said, I'm looking at the lost. My heart's for the lost. I already have you. I love you. I'm in you. You're in me. But my passion is for those folks that are yet to come. That's what he's passionate about. That's why he sent his son. That's why he did those things. So the Lord desires for his church to grow. He provides gifts to ensure spiritual growth and development. In Ephesians chapter 4, if you turn there, Ephesians 4, somebody read it. Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. When you're there, just start to read. Be brave. So what every joint supplies, it means everybody's involved in church. Come on, somebody. I mean, one of the reasons why we are the size we are is because I'm the guy. One of the reasons why I'm the guy. I do the visitation. I go to the hospital. I marry, bury. And that's typical of American churches. Just get one or two people and we're pretty normal. 75% of the churches in America are 80 or less. And the reason why is because everybody's comfortable. Let's hire this guy, let him do everything, and we'll just come to church and get blessed, and we'll go about our business. We'll go to work, we'll go to, and that's cool. But whenever people start pulling together, we see lives change, souls change, communities change. Come on, someone. So I'm not berating us. We're pretty normal. We're just as normal as can be. But I don't want to be normal. Got to be different. Got to be abnormal. My wife will tell you that I am abnormal. You know, God provides increase through our connection with him as the head. We're growing up, the scripture says that Mick just read, we're growing up into the head, Christ. Yet church growth is not automatic. Some churches become stagnant and they stay that way for years, and others enter a downward spiral till they don't exist. You have a good example in this community, the Church of God over on Main and Third, that existed there for years. That existed there for years. And they got down to about 10 people, and it's where the cross is now. The cross bought that building and that property for a buck off the people because there was nobody there. They just died. And we don't want that catastrophe to happen. That would be a catastrophe. Every time that I try to drill a well of vision, I get the same thing from the Lord. Go back to the original vision of the church. And that was to grow and affect a community. The men that started this work, the men and women that started this work, it grew very quickly to over 200 people. And the leadership came to him and said, "We you're getting the wrong people. We want the people. We want the lake people. We want the rich people. These people we don't want." It's basically what happened. 30 years ago. But the original vision was to win souls and to change lives. And then it morphed into a school that was very effective, very powerful, and then that was attacked. Two things I want to talk about tonight to avoid the catastrophe of not being a church anymore. I'll be okay. You'll be okay. We'll go about our lives. We'll do that. But it'll be sad because God wants to do something through New Life, I'm convinced, that will absolutely revolutionize this area. Absolutely revolutionize this area. And I'm so excited to be a part of it. But there's two things that we must understand and apply if we're going to move on to the vision that God's given us. Each part, number one, each part must do its share. Mick just read it in Ephesians chapter 4 that each joint supplies into the body of Christ. That means all of us need to get involved and stay involved. When each member does his or her part as a member of the body, it begins to grow. We all have a function to fulfill. Romans 12, 3 through 8. You can look at that later. Every member is important in 1 Corinthians 12. It talks about the eye, the ear, the hand. Every member is important, and we don't want to lose that importance. One of the things that I see that's sensitive here at New Life is we're going to lose our way of fellowship. Because we don't have a hamburger after church, we're going to lose the camaraderie. Nothing could be more ridiculous. Come on, somebody. If you want to have a hamburger, go to Burger King. Come on, if you want something to eat, I mean, if eating is going to separate us, how immature are we? Come on, somebody. Yes, this church that is to be fed the word, and this training ground. But every member is important, and we realize that. We want to continue to have relationship even outside. We're thinking about and praying about doing home groups. Why? Because that tenderness and that compassion and intimacy can happen in a home group setting. And you can eat all the hamburgers you want. When each member is drawing strength from the head, God begins to grow the church. Directly through God's indwelling, the church grows. Not only is Christ in us, but we're in Christ. The body is showing forth and reflecting the power and the anointing of Almighty God. And we're nourished from above and from within. When that happens, we're bound to grow. And some of it that you can pray for is we just need to get rid of the past. We can't get the past. If it's past is still hurting us at this point, come on. We need the throne room of God to bear down on us and say, I make all things new. Let's move forward. We're not moving backward. Church growth is endangered when members do not do their part. The church is handicapped by non-functioning members. We have a bunch of great people here, but we all need to get busy. And I've heard people say, well, I did all that years ago. Well, do it again. Get involved again. I mean, that's what we're here for, to labor, to bring people to Christ and to disciple them and see them grow. We're handicapped here because of non-functioning members. It's the same, they call it the Pareto, P-A-R-E-T-O, the Pareto principle. That says that 20% of the people do 100% of the work. That's what this church is like. Just be honest. 20% of the people, usually, you know, if you're going to do leadership or something, it's always the same folks that are volunteering that get here early and stay late. And we need to implement getting everybody involved in doing something. It can happen. Our church in New York, we went from about 20% participation to almost 80% participation because of this, what I'm talking about right here, catching on and doing the work of the Lord. When other members have to make up the difference, they often struggle under an extra burden and they become disheartened and sometimes give up. And that's why you go through a cycle of, you know, 80 or 90 down to 60 or 50, back to 80 or 90 down to 40 or 30, up to 50 or 60 down to 20, because people get discouraged. I just talked to somebody the other day that used to come here, and I said, hey, where you been? And they said, well, you're not growing. You're not affecting the community, and I want to be a part of a church that's affecting the community. And I went in that whole thing about the hole in the boat. You know, I said, if you see a hole in the boat, come help us patch it up and get going, man. The second principle of church growth is the strong must bear with the weak. That's one thing we get. Sometimes we get upset because people aren't where they're supposed to be, or we don't think they're where they're supposed to be. As people come into the church, we're going to find that people are weak in some areas. The longer that they're with us, the more that they'll come under conviction of the Holy Spirit to change their lives. We can't change them too quickly because we'll lose them. Come on, someone. When strong members understand the weakness in others, the church will grow. As the church evangelizes, there will always be babes in Christ. There will always be those who are weak and those that can be messy. You know, they smell like cigarettes. They burp at the wrong times. They tell the wrong kind of joke. Come on, somebody. We just got to put up with them and love them and bring them on. Many new members haven't had the benefit of good role models, but here we have good, excellent role models. I'm very comfortable with inviting people here because we have mature Christians. We just need to have the patience that comes with maturity. It will take time for many Christians to learn principles of godly living. And that's where we come in. That's where we have conversations. That's where we take somebody to Burger King and talk with them. So you can't, you know, I see the excitement in you. If you're going to continue on with the Lord, you probably ought to think about not doing this action anymore. Have you read something about stopping smoking? Have you read something about taking, you know, taking steps not to burp in public anymore? I don't know. I'm just using that for an example. But we introduce Jesus and we bring people along. As they learn to trust us, we need to put up with their weaknesses because someday they'll be strong. One day you and I were weak. One day you and I were weak. When I came to Christ, I didn't know my left hand from the right. And I remember my pastor at the time. I mean, he came over to the house and we cleaned for a week knowing he was going to come. Made sure everything was Christian in the living room, you know. No off-colored books, you know, just regular novels. We didn't want that. We had the big Bible out, you know. We had a pastor come in, you know. Brand new Christians, I didn't know. And so he came in, kicked off his shoes, and laid down on my couch. He did. Put me right at ease. We talked about all kinds of stuff before he ever got around to talking about the Lord. He was really talking about the Lord the whole time because he was making me comfortable. Turn to Romans chapter 15. Romans 15. Can't read it upside down. Romans chapter 15. We then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak, verse 1, and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. So we're to not become disheartened and not grow weary in well-doing. We just need to put up with the weak, be patient with the weak, to restore those overtaken in faults and walk them through forgiveness and growth. Come on, someone. I said the other night how brave people are to even have the guts to come into a church nowadays. After all the stories we hear, now we... To add insult to injury, people were being shot in church. So when you invite somebody to church, they have all kinds of obstacles they're overcoming to even come. So when they come, if we judge them too quickly or we're impatient with them, that's every excuse to say, I knew it, I'm not coming back. Come on, someone. We must accommodate the weak in order to grow. Growth comes out of weakness. We must accommodate them. Many churches fail to grow because the strong expect too much from the weak. We expect them to grow up too quick. They don't know any better. With strong members bearing with weak members, the help needed for the weak to grow will be provided. We work with them. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. First Thessalonians chapter 5. (clears throat) 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. Be patient with all. And that's so very important. Church growth is endangered when strong members become disheartened. And one of the things that I've seen over the few years that I've been here is that disheartening. We talk a lot about church growth and change, but we really never want to. We make a change and we go right back to the way it was. I'm kind of picking on the food thing, but the food thing is a big thing here at New Life. It's a big deal. We spend $200 a month or so on food just so we can eat. How many know it's okay? We can go home and eat. It's okay. So we need to break the food idol that we have here. It's just a big deal. I mean, people have already come and said, hey, what are we going to do in the kitchen? Now that we have the church in there, are we still going to be able to cook? It's like, I want to say to people, do you have a refrigerator and stove at home? It's quiet. Come on, this is a giant we got to hit if we're going to move beyond this. Am I hurting anybody's feelings tonight? And when people get disheartened because what we've done the past few years is preach about growth, and one of the things is if we're not growing, people can become disheartened. You're always talking and we never do, see? They begin to feel their labor is in vain. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says to not grow weary in well-doing and pursuing strength. They think about leaving to go elsewhere, and we don't want to lose anybody. We want them to stay here. They want to go sometimes where they're appreciated. That's naturally what happens to people that are functioning and want to live their Christianity. They come here and they see us, you know, we talk a lot, but we keep doing the same thing. How many know we're not going to retain good workers? You're going to say, well, these people talk a lot, but I'm not seeing anything. I've been preaching to me for the last 3 weeks, and I'm preaching to you. Is that okay? When strong members lose their source of strength, you need to consider this. Long-suffering is a fruit of the Spirit. We need to have long-suffering. We need to go back again. Maybe we've been to this plow how many times? We've started down the row, and it stopped. I've had a couple of times when I was with, we were out front praying about 6 months ago, and we anointed the ground, and the Spirit of God just moved. Remember that, Gene? We were out front, Gene. You remember that? We were out front and the Spirit of God moved because we rebuked the enemy that was holding some things down. And some things changed for a little bit and we went right back to the cycle. Because cycles are stronger if we're not pursuing moving forward, see? Something had to happen in the children of Israel from the cycle to the straight line to the promised land. Something had to happen. When the last person died that was 40 years or older, or what was it, 20 years or older, everybody died in the desert in 40 years. Am I right? That last funeral must have been because now they got rid of everybody, all these people that were new going into the promised land. Something had to change in their heart to get the work done, to go to the promised land. And something has to change in the heart of New Life to die from the old and move into the new, what God has. Long-suffering with joy is a gift from God. And you guys, I'm talking to people that have been here literally for years. How many messages have you heard over the years on church growth and affecting community? And we're still banging around with just a few people. Either it's not true, it doesn't work, or we're not implementing it. And I would like to think the latter, not the former. We're just not implementing it. We're not putting it into practice. Talking in theory is always nice. I've said it before, but Satan is not concerned. He's not afraid of us as long as we're talking about something that happened or something that will happen. We serve a God whose strength is unlimited. We may be depending too much on our own strength. We need to depend on the Lord, for His strength is provided for us. Turn to Ephesians 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. God provides us. We've been through the full armor many times. But He provides the strength for us. We may forget, and I want to remind you tonight, we may forget the joy of serving for the Lord's sake alone, even if others do not appreciate it. There's a joy of serving God. And seeing somebody's life change right before you, that's the most tremendous thing that we'll ever experience. People's lives changing from being, and I'll pick on Margaret, she's not here tonight, I'll pick on her. I watched her life change over the past years. When I first met Margaret, she could hardly ever even talk to you. She just went all over the world witnessing for the Lord. What a tremendous change. We may forget that is part of the growth when we start seeing. And there's something about having young Christians growing and changing that make us want to grow and change. You know, they pray for something and they get an answer to prayer and they're all over the place. You can't shut them up. I prayed and guess what happened? And we're like, yeah, big deal. But we need to get excited again about Jesus answering prayer. The joy of eating cake even when there's no icing on the cake. You know, we just need to go through it and watch people's growth. There'll always be, we don't lose perspective because there'll always be the weak among us. Dealing with weak is necessary training for future shepherds and teachers. As we grow and more people come in, more people are going to be able to take care of the people that come in. We're not relying on 5 or 6 people to train and to disciple and to bring people growth. You know what happens? Everybody grows to an elementary place and nobody grows beyond that. You can't possibly grow a church with just 5 or 6 people and 150 people. It just won't work. That's why 150 member churches don't last. They fall back to a workable size. We all need to be doing the work of the Lord, fulfilling our function in the body of Christ. I encourage you, take hold of your strengths and find out where you can use them in the church. We are wide open for that. Be bold, be brave, and say, you know, I can do that, and I can probably do it better than the person's doing it, or nobody's doing it. Let me do it. What's up, buddy? First Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I had a professor that one of my favorite professors in college, and I used to call him after I graduated and took my first church. Sometimes I'd be in so much. I just needed somebody to talk to, and I'd call and talk to him. His name was Brother Mac. John McClellan, and he was a pile driver. He was a King James only guy, number one. I loved him anyway. And when you got his class, you had to buy a King James Bible because he didn't allow any other Bible in his class. If he saw you pulling out an NIV, you got chastised. Put that thing away and pull out a King James. Yeah, that's the original. It was written in King James, yeah. But that's the way he was. But he loved the Lord. Man, he loved the Lord. And every conversation I ever had with him, he'd end up with that. Say, remember, my brother, what's your verse? And I'd say, I'd go to Satan, and he goes, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. See you later. That's why he ended every conversation I ever had with that verse. And then Galatians 6:9 says, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. What's the due season, guys? You know what the due season is? The real due season is when we enter glory. Billy Graham is reaping his just rewards right now. We will reap if we do not lose heart. There's more to life than just this life here. I can do anything for the next few years because what awaits me is glory. And just Billy just sitting there, can you imagine how his hand must hurt right now? All the people say, thank you, Billy Graham. 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 You led me to Christ. Thank you, Billy Graham. Thank you, Billy Graham. Y'all okay? Y'all all right? I mean, there's just changes that we need to make, and I need your help. I need your help. I need to enlist at least the people in this room to say, we're with you. Let's go. And that means talking it up. That means putting the idea in somebody's spirit when you see them on Sunday. Say, hey, man, we're growing. Things are happening. Invite somebody. Pray with them. Grab them. Pray with them. Share a book with them. Share some discipling with them. There's some people that are just absolutely starving to grow and won't get anywhere near me. They'll say hello to me on Sunday morning and they won't, because they don't want me preaching at them. But you can sneak in the side door, see? You can say, man, I got a book for you to read, or can I pray for you? And all of a sudden they start kissing. Because that's the body ministry. Come on, someone. I'm not everybody's pastor. I'm a pastor at New Life, but I'm not everybody's pastor. It just either don't like me, I'm overbearing or ugly or bald or whatever they don't like. They come because of the body. They come back because of the body. And they're absolutely starving for somebody to come and give them a hand, help them out. Anybody knows what the word, anybody know what the word evangelism mean? What does the word evangelism mean? Don't everybody speak up at once. It actually means to tell. Evangelize in the original language means to tell, to announce good news. Evangelism. The good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why is good news necessary? Why is the good news of the gospel necessary? It's the truth. Overcomes evil. Why is it necessary? Why is it necessary? Trying to get you to somewhere. Why is the gospel necessary? Why is the good news necessary? Another way. It saves people from death. From death. It's good news. It's powerful. People get healed. People get saved. It's all that. But if they don't receive the gospel message, they're going to die in their sins and eternally be separated from God. I mean, eternally separated from God. That's how serious this business is. God, who is absolutely righteous and holy, created man in his own likeness and image. The first man, Adam, messed up royally. He marred the image that God created. And so God had to send his only son on this earth. All children that are born. I saw something the other day. It said there are 6 or 8 billion children of God on the globe. No? Not everybody's a child of God. How do you get to be a child of God? It's the only way you get to be a child of God. I hate to disappoint you. God loves you, but you are not a child of God until you receive Jesus. That's what we need to tell people. And too many messages are going out that everybody's a child of God and God understands. Yes, God understands, but God understands you going that way and you're going that way. All are children of wrath, Ephesians 2 says. All are under condemnation, Romans 3 says, Romans 3:19. All are under condemnation without Christ. Absolutely necessary. You know, none of us would stop, would not stop and help somebody that we knew was going to get hurt badly or die. There's not a person in here that wouldn't push somebody out of the way of a speeding car. At the risk maybe of your own life. But what you don't realize is, many of us forget that people are dying without Christ. Everybody has a rendezvous with death. There's only one way to exit this world. No other exit but death. And we've got to realize without Christ, all are alienated from the life of God that we walk among, that are not Christians. Man has been separated from God for so long that he has become used to the unnatural and actually loves darkness rather than light. John 3:19, Jesus said they love the darkness rather than light. We've got to reach out to them and get them saved or bring them back. So many in this community used to have some semblance. I don't know if they were saved or not. Some were saved and backslid. How many know we need them back? The body's incomplete for those because those people have left. God took the initiative by bringing man back into fellowship by sending his son to head a new race of people. We are to establish the kingdom. Did you ever wonder why the disciples, it says in the book of Mark, Jesus was praying and the disciples came and said, teach us to pray. What are you, deaf? I've been here praying all this time. Anybody ever wonder why they came and asked him to teach them to pray? Did you ever wonder that? It says he was there praying and the disciples came to him and said, teach us to pray. What happened? Jesus was praying in tongues. Remember, he was baptized in the Holy Ghost. He had the fullness of the Spirit. And that's all they ever heard him praying, probably. He prayed most of the time in the Spirit. When they came back and they said, even the demons are subject to your name, he spun around in the Spirit and prayed and sang in tongues. It says he rejoiced in the Spirit. If you do a study, that whole thing was spinning around and screaming in tongues. That too. I'm sure he prayed in his understanding, but when they got baptized in the Holy Ghost in the upper room, they didn't run out of there. They knew what happened to them because they saw it in their Lord. Why am I saying that? We have got to pray in the Spirit more and more and more and more and more. Bypass this stupid brain that wants to pray for. God says, man, I want to use you for prayer. Just pray. Pray in the Spirit. God uses us. Amen? God uses us. And we have to pray. And as we pray and connect with God, He'll lead us to the right place and we'll do the right thing. Christ was the image of God and He came to live in us. Christ did not fall into sin as Adam did. He won the race. He won everything. He took the keys of hell, death, and the grave. All who receive Christ as Savior accept the finished work of Calvary. Evangelism is important. It's to go tell, but it's absolutely the most important message that anyone will ever hear. Who is responsible to tell the good news? Everybody go, me. But again, I mean, we fall into a habit. I'm not picking on anybody, but we fall into a habit. Hey, I know I've been talking to you about the Lord and handing you stuff. And have you got time to go to church on Sunday? Why don't you come to church on Sunday? You'll hear how to get saved. What? Yeah, man, just pray for them right there. Pray for them. They don't need to come. But we get into the habit. There's an evangelistic meeting. I want to go there. I want to go. Somebody needs healed, so we take them to a healing meeting. Just pray for their healing. God promised that each and every one of us. It didn't stipulate. I see nowhere in the Word, and I've researched a lot, I see nowhere in the Word it says you have to have a title to be used of God. These signs shall follow those who believe. Those. How many are those? Those who believe, they'll lay hands on the sick and they will recover. A bunch of other stuff, but they'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. It has been entrusted to us. God's not going to do it without us. I think more than anything in this last harvest, we're going to see a nameless, faceless generation. God's going to use tons of people that nobody will ever hear of. The days of the Billy Graham and the Billy Sundays and the big names are gone. They're just not going to happen. It's going to be each and every one of us reaching someone. Tons of people come to Christ. The primary message that God gave through Jesus was evangelism. The ministry of those who were sent from Christ was evangelism. He said, go and preach the gospel of the kingdom. Heal the sick, raise the dead. Freely you receive, freely give. The early church evangelized. The good news must be shared now, today. We don't have any guarantees about tomorrow. It's going to take all of us. And I'm just asking, as I pray, I've set this month aside for just to pray and seek the Lord's face. And I absolutely am so excited about what God wants to do here. But I'm just sharing my heart. I'm not picking on anybody. I'm not trying to make you feel uncomfortable, except for the food. I'm going to hit the food hard. Sunday, I'm hitting the food hard. Just pray that people's hearts will be open to saying, you know, the end of the food is, we'll have bagels and coffee before church. That's okay. But if you're looking for hamburgers after church, you are going to be disappointed. We're just moving away from that. Come on, somebody. Is that okay? Many of us, if we took a vote, everybody'd say, "No, we gotta have hamburgers." Yeah, I mean, you know, I have advantage of looking up here, and the better the food smells, the quicker this place empties out. Yeah. And if I go straight back there, people are already in line. You know, they're already in line and have the food. I mean, everybody's going for the food. We get excited, man. If food could be saved, it would all be saved. If food could get saved and go to heaven, we'd have the job done. But it just is. And I mean, people that come, I don't want to belabor the point, but people that come and visit see that. We're more interested in food than we are the Lord. And so they don't come back. Well, you know, there's nothing wrong with the special times of year to have carry-ins and to have, but we could do that on Saturday. We could have special banquet for police officers and we could do all kinds of things. We've got wonderful facilities to do that. But I think the major edict, the command of God is to preach the gospel, to live the gospel, to train and make disciples. And we have a wonderful building. We have a wonderful property, a wonderful presence. Some of the things I hear about New Life in the community happened 30 years ago. One thing I know about living in this area, people never forget. And they got memories like elephants. Remember everything. But
you need to pray that those people die off so that that is
done. Not die off, just get healed, you know. So I've had people come and mention stuff that happened here at the church 30 years ago, and I'm like, that was 30 years ago.
Yes.
Yeah. This and
they're
that did that.
Carrying an offense.
Yes. And I'm not talking just a couple. I'm talking dozens, huh?
Is that because it's a good excuse?
Well, that too.
That's
become a good excuse.
Yep.
But every one of us, I just love you so much, and there's so much anointing in this room. There is. You know, and go visit the shut-ins and pray for the sick and all of that. We can all do that. We all get on board and just move in that direction. And I'm not going to slow down at all. I'm going to keep going. But there's only so much one person can do. Once a person gets saved, once a person commits himself to the Lord, it's vitally important for them to get connected with the local church so
right.
they don't fall away.
Right.
But you got to get them to that point. And you're exactly right. We've got to go out to them, not ask them to come here. Because there are all kinds of, like I said, by the time they come in the door, they've overcome all kinds of obstacles to get here. And the first negative they hear, they're not coming back. Somebody said that a person decides in the first 5 minutes of visiting a church if they're ever coming back. Before they ever hear any worship message, first 5 minutes they've made up their mind. That's pretty telling.
I believe that because that's what I felt. You know,
yeah.
It's not like you're looking for excuses. Well, there's 200 people in there and not one person said hello. We look at those things.
Yeah.
And they're the same way. But this church, we're always greeting, and all that. But
yeah, that's one thing we got strong love here. I mean, people
we have to take that love out to the community, Everybody has somebody that's hurting. And instead of saying, hey, once you come to church, just go to them, take the church to them. Go there and love on them, That's what it's about. It's not about it's about showing the love of Christ in you. So they'll say, something about you, and I want that. And they're going to get that because you're showing that love, It's going to rub off on them. They're going to say, I want that, and you can pray for them and all that. Yeah, and then that's when you work on, bringing them into the body and all that. But first, you just got to love them, let them see Jesus in you, and they're going to want what you have,
Right.
I mean, that's where it's all about. That's what got me, and that's what, I pray for so many people. You guys know all this, but that's just because I step out. I'm a bold person, but I never was before. But I follow the Holy Spirit, man, because he wrecked my life, and I won't go back to that. There's nothing back there to that lifestyle. So I want to tell everybody about Jesus, and about hope, and I just want to represent him, And I never say, hey, would you come to church? I'm the church right then and there. You know what I'm saying? And that's what it's all about. We said, Jesus, you're my Lord. You are my Lord. If he says, go pray for that person, you go pray for that person. It's not, all this. Because if you believe he's the same now and forevermore, and the Bible says he gives us all of the authority and everything is given to us, why are we using it? Why are we stepping out and the signs, wonders, and miracles? It's because we're not doing anything. We're not stepping out and praying for the people. We're not going to see it until we're never going to walk on water until we get out of the boat.
Well said.
Good message.
Well said. Pray for the next few weeks, starting in this other, starting at a different time, and we're moving not very far over to the other room. But I really believe it's the Lord. I really believe every step we're making is towards the goal of. The Lord's asking me to change a lot of things in my life, my style of leadership, how I do things. And I'm asking for prayer. I'm asking that when I do say these things that I don't hurt people. I don't want anybody to leave and I don't want anybody to get hurt. But there's things that we just absolutely have to stop doing and start doing other things if we're going to fulfill the mandate that I believe God has us for a local church. just absolutely can't do some things, and we absolutely have to do other things. And there's people that will come awake, and you know, and we'll all start pulling in the same direction. Because once we're in one mind and one accord, all kinds of things happen. Once we're in one mind and one accord, all kinds of things happen. And over the next couple of weeks, we're going to have seasons of prayer, and I'm asking you to come. Whenever we announce prayer, just come and pray with us and just cry out. Let's get a hold of God and see Him do what He wants to do. It's an exciting time. It's an exciting time. I feel like I'm 40 years old again. Father, thank You so much for Your precious, precious promises that are yes and amen in Christ. Thank You, Lord, that even though they've been delayed, they're still there. They've not lost their strength. They've not lost their strength. They've not lost their anointing, God. Your promises are powerful. Lord, You said that You would reach the lost through us. You said that You would grow the church through us, oh God. Those promises are yes, and those promises are amen in Christ. And Father, we just lay prayer on us so hard, God, that we would pray individually and corporately, God, for the prayer of the fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Effectual prayer that we pray, God, avails much. Lord, push the church towards that direction, God. We lift up new life and we ask, oh God, that we move in that direction, fulfilling the original command that You brought upon this church 31, 32 years ago. Father, let us move forward in that. We thank You for the souls that are yet to come. We thank You for the great harvest that we've yet to get, Father. We begin to thank You already for releasing, strengthening, saving, delivering, healing those that need those things, Father. And use us. God, thank You for living in us. God, give us a revelation of us living in You. And I thank You for the patience of all those that are listening tonight, God, and the input that we've all had, Father. Now help us to walk it out. And we give You all the praise and the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name. Amen.